commencing countdown.
3, 2, 1.
This is the Contracting Experience. Connecting government contracting professionals to the world around them through conversations with acquisition influencers, insights into evolving hot topics, and sharing lessons learned from the field.
Welcome, podcast listeners. On this episode of The Contracting Experience, we have a special episode where we're diving into the world of small business. Joining us today is my co-host, Ms. Marcy Bain, a small business professional representing the Air Force Installation and Mission Support Center, Small Business North. Marcy will help conduct our interview today as we welcome our special guest, Ms. Francine Morris, Director of Government Contracting with the Small Business Administration, affectionately known as the SBA. So first off, we welcome our co-host, Ms. Marcy Bain, to share her insights on the role of a small business professional within our acquisition workforce. Welcome, Marcy. It's great to have you here, and I appreciate having you as a co-host to help me guide us through this conversation on small business. Can maybe set the stage for our listeners a little bit and provide some background, maybe share your insights on the importance of government contracting with small business?
Sure, I'd love to do that, Rob. And as you mentioned, my name is Marcy Bain, and I am currently a small business professional. I started in government over 20 years ago. And in my time in government, I've held numerous roles. So I started as a contract specialist. I've worked in pricing. I've worked in a subspecialty of pricing as a defective pricer. And then I've worked at AFMC HQ in pricing roles. And all of those different vantage points gave me this unique view of the acquisition world. And one of the things that I really came to see was the power of competition and the power of competition to drive fair and reasonable pricing that is of interest to us in the government, that is of interest to taxpayers who are paying for the programs that we put forth, but not just the power of competition. I came to be really interested in this idea of innovation. Where does it happen? How does it happen? What sorts of things facilitate innovation? And all of those roads led me to the power and the importance of small business. And so that's what really got me super excited about small business and changing my career to become a small business professional. And the government spends billions of dollars every year on small business. So we really have the power to shape industries. We really have the power to build up innovation in the marketplace. We have the power to do a lot of really important things within the government. There was an article, I think it was maybe a year or two ago, of Business Insider. And this particular article was talking about large businesses, but it cited 15 large businesses. And the thing that it really drove home is every single one of these iconic American brands started ultimately as small businesses. And the bent of this particular article was how many of these businesses were started in people's basements and garages and ultimately fueled and propelled by industry, by government support, by all of these different things that allowed these incredible businesses to become large businesses. And if you were to find that article, they would all be businesses that you'd heard of. In fact, they're probably businesses that you interact with on a daily basis. So there's this virtuous cycle by which we want small businesses to grow and thrive and prosper and become large. And a big part of what we do in small business is participate in that cycle by identifying maximum opportunities to contract with small businesses, by participating in the innovation cycle, by doing all of these things that are good for the taxpayer, good for the government, good for our customers. And so that's a lot of what we do within small business. And to that end, I'm so delighted to welcome today Ms. Francine Morris, the Director of Government Contracting for the Small Business Administration's Office of Government Contracting. Ms. Morris will help us understand the basics of our small business programs, SBA resources available to both the government and small businesses, and the type of work she's doing every day in her role as a director of government contracting to help all of us meet in the acquisition world our mission while also encouraging maximum opportunity for small businesses. Welcome, Ms. Morris, and thank you for joining us. My first invitation is to tell us a little bit about yourself and your background. How did you find your way into a career with small business?
Marcy, thank you so much. And thank you, Rob, for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity to be able to share my experiences and knowledge on this small business, important small business in community. So I started a little different. Most people start in the federal government and then they go into private industry. I started in private industry first. And I spent about 20 years in this federal space as a federal contractor, doing work with both small businesses, as well as I wanted to get some experience and understanding of the large prime contractors and how they operated within the federal government. So I had an opportunity to go work with one of those multi-billion dollar corporations and enjoyed it. It was just so fulfilling to me. And I realized how much I wanted to experience doing work for the government, being in this public space, sharing and coming up with solutions. Then honestly, life happens for you. And I decided, my husband, got a little ill and we decided that maybe it's time for me to shift, to be honest. And that's why I decided to move to the public sector and away from private, just to have a little bit more control over my life, but still staying in a space of what I love to do. And that was provide some type of solution to the federal government. And in doing so, I said to myself, self, if you go into the federal government, you want to work for the Small Business Administration. I've always had a passion for working with small business and what they bring to our economy. And I was blessed with that opportunity to get a position within the Small Business Administration. And in working with the Small Business Administration, I got to understand how government really works. You know, when you're on the private side, you have so many, we're solving for everything. And we're solving the world's problem, including how government works. And then I found myself getting in the public side and understanding that the government was going to fix me and show me how the government works. And so I came into the Small Business Administration, understood how federal workers worked so hard to do what they were doing with the resources that they had. And it just gave me a better heartfelt understanding of the needs of and what we needed to do to make small businesses successful. And so I've had the opportunity that I spent 10 years here at the SBA and wanted to expand. I did everything from writing policy to working with our field ops office, and that was to be able to touch the firms and really have a better understanding for what they brought to the federal government and how we could engage and work together. And from that, I had an opportunity to go to the National Science Foundation, because while SBA provides oversight and compliance for the federal agencies to work, you want to see how that impacts the actual agency that is using those policies that SBA has to provide. And so I got an opportunity to spend 3 years at the National Science Foundation, three phenomenal years, I would say. And, you see how to do things better. You see the impact of what your work was imposing on the federal agencies when it came to compliance and policies. And I got a call to say, hey, You can come back to the SBA. And when the opportunity arose, I did. I went back to the SBA and I became the Director of Government Contracts. And I think the experiences that I've had to come with a well-rounded mindset now in working in private industry and working for large primes and working with the federal, you know, agencies in that small business office, and then coming back to be the Director of Government Contract, it just gave me a well-rounded idea of what we should be doing and how we could support small businesses at such a larger scale. So this has been a great opportunity. I've had a blessed and great career and more to come. And so, you know, these are exciting times for us because the federal government is increasingly striving to work towards higher goals and to work with small businesses in just a bigger way. And so I'm so excited to be back at the Small Business Administration. I'm so excited to be able to just share my passion and live in my passion, I always say, with helping small businesses and engaging to meet other small business professionals and contracting acquisition folks across the federal enterprise. So thank you for having me and thank you for giving me an opportunity to share.
All right. Wow. Thank you, Ms. Morris. And again, thank you for joining us on the Contracting Experience. It's great to have you here. And thank you for giving us a little bit about your background and experiences. I mean, that's impressive. Industry, Small Business Administration, over the National Science Foundation, back to the SBA. Again, that's awesome stuff. That's a great career you got going there. And then it's just always interesting to hear the unique journeys we all take coming from across the globe, all different walks of life. And then we find ourselves working together for the common mission of federal public service. So that's awesome stuff. And then maybe for some of our listeners who might be less familiar with small business and small business programs, can you please tell us about the SBA government contracting programs and how they're essential to the work we do as acquisition professionals?
Absolutely. So within SBA's portfolio of small business programs, we have four socioeconomic programs that we call out: the Women-Owned Small Business Program, the Hub Zone Program, the 8A Certification Business Development Program, the Services Able Veteran Program. They all provide certifications, and each of those programs are unique. And they represent a cross section of the small business communities across the US. So the SBA is a full contingent of staffing support for each of the socioeconomic programs when we focus on promoting these programs to federal and DOD agencies for potential contracting opportunities. Within my Office of Government Contracting, SBA has procurement center representatives, and they're located throughout the country, in every, I guess, area of government contracting locations. So typically the PCRs, they sit either at the federal agency office, they're supporting or maintaining an office in or one of our SBA district offices across the country. PCRs, they work closely with the agencies and they support and collaborate with the small business office directors to ensure small businesses considered early in the acquisition. So we're continuously looking for maximum opportunities for small businesses to compete within the federal marketplace. We have commercial marketing representatives who are subcontracting experts, and they're providing the federal and DOD advice on how to work with a large range of adequate percentages of small businesses in that socioeconomic space, as well as a small business that's not socially economic participating. And so within that program, we have set goals across the enterprise to ensure that these small businesses can have those maximum opportunities. And we try to hit a 23% total small business goal in the prime contracting area. And as well as we have set goals for the social disadvantaged businesses, our small disadvantaged businesses, as well as we have set goals for the FOSB program, which is what we call our Women-Owned Small Business, and our Veterans program. So we really tried to open the doors, advocate for these small businesses so they can have an opportunity to compete for contracts across the federal enterprise.
Thank you, Ms. Morris. This is fabulous information and a great refresher. The next question we're going to ask you about will be of great interest to both acquisition personnel, but I think also any contractors listening to this podcast. There is a new SBA system in place for small business certifications that became effective in August of 2024. And I wonder if you can tell us a little bit more about the new SBA certification process for socioeconomic entities and how this particular system differs from the previous system in which small businesses self-certified. And then I wonder if you can answer what was the impetus for this current change? And I know that we're in the early days of its implementation, but also what kind of results or trends are we seeing as a result of this process change?
Excellent question. And I'm always so super excited to speak about the positive change that is coming across the Small Business Administration. So before this new certification system came about, we had, as I spoke, four certification programs. The Woman-Owned Small Business, HubZone, and the Service-Disabled Veteran, as well as the Small Disadvantaged Business programs. They operated in silos. And it was resulting in small businesses having to fill out four different applications. So if you wanted to be woman-owned small business certified as well as 8A certified, you had to apply for the 8A program. And then you could have to use, you may have to use the same documents to apply for the woman-owned small business program. And if you were a veteran, then you would go into another system and you would apply for the veteran program. The Service Disabled Veteran Program, and you may be using the same documentation to apply for all the programs. In addition to that, the timeframes were different. So if you were applying for a veterans program, you had you may be waiting 15 days, you may be able to get certified. Well, then you go apply for the woman-owned small business program, given the same documents, but it just may have additional proving that you're a woman by adding your birth certificate. And you may have to show that you are a citizen, a U.S. citizen. And it could take you up to 1 year to get a certification for the Woman-Owned Small Business Program. It was just, you just unconscionable how folks were just having to be able to qualify for each one of these programs at different within various timelines. And so our Administrator Guzman, she saw this to be just so ineffective and inefficient, and she said, stop the madness, and wanted to implement a one-stop shop for certifications for one system. And so under the new certification process, we had to harmonize our policies across the programs. We looked at how we could be more efficient. Did we look at the changes, see what we needed and what we didn't need? Were we asking for more information that was necessary to get a firm certified in one of our programs? And we sat down, harmonized the policies, harmonized across the board, the criteria for the certifications, and we implemented a one-stop certification process for one system. So this one system, you have one login, you can apply for all four programs if you wish at one time. All the document sharing would be in the system, so you wouldn't be coming back over and over again to give us the same documents. And we were able to implement a system that now is in effect. If you went to certifications at sba.gov, a firm can go in and apply one time and they can use all the documents. They're maintained in the system. They'll get feedback. So we streamlined that entire process. This is a very exciting time and for all of our small businesses across the country to come in and be more just, you know, the expeditious way of getting their certifications has changed. And so we've revolutionized what I say, how firms are applying for our programs to be able to participate.
Wow, ma'am, that is incredible. And that is great to hear that efficiency in the government, one system instead of four. That is phenomenal. And then does it have a name? I mean, you mentioned SBA.gov for certification, but is there an overarching name for this new system or?
Yeah, so we call it MySBA. And if you want to apply, you would go to certifications@sba.gov and the firm could go right in and apply for each of our programs right as we speak.
All right, ma'am. That is awesome. And any need to recertify for folks that are certified in one or more of those programs?
So once you have applied and you are certified, what we did was we also, I'm happy you asked that question, because at one point, each time you would apply for a program, you would have a recertification requirement, and you may have four different recertification requirements. Well, we've been able to establish when you go in and you recertify each year, your annual certification, you would go in and you could do all of your certification recerts at the same time. So we've even created ways to harmonize that as well.
All right. Excellent. Yeah, that's the gift that keeps on giving. No longer four registrations, no longer four recertifications, the single logon. I mean, in my world of e-business, that is singing the tune right there. That's great. So changing on, I have a new segment for you, ma'am. We're going to call it Fact or Fiction. I have three myths I'm going to run past you. I'm going to name the myth, and then you can say fact or fiction. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Myth number one, small businesses cannot compete against big companies. Fact or fiction?
So that is a fiction. It's a large misconception that small businesses can't compete against large corporations for government contracts. However, various programs and certifications are designed to level the playing field. And for example, the 8A Business Development Program and the Women-Owned Small Business Program and the Service-Disabled Veterans Program all provide opportunities for small businesses to compete for contracts that are set aside specifically for them. So these programs ensure that small businesses have a fair chance to win government contracts, regardless of the size.
All right. Excellent, man. Thanks for providing some fact checking and to dispelling that myth. So bottom line there, small businesses can definitely compete with large businesses and oftentimes have their own set asides. So excellent point. All right, man. Myth number two, government contracts are not profitable. Some business owners believe that government contracts aren't profitable because there's that perceived low margin, stringent regulations, government oversight, all of that stuff. So government contracts aren't profitable. Fact or fiction?
So that is a fiction. Government contracting is highly profitable, and especially for businesses that can efficiently manage their operations and compliance requirements. The government is known for being a reliable customer with a steady flow of work, providing businesses with a stable and predictable revenue stream. Moreover, many contracts offer fair compensation and opportunities for additional businesses through contracts and modification extensions. So the government contracting can introduce a learning curve that is, you could be difficult to navigate, but you definitely can move into a very profitable space.
All right, great, ma'am. Thanks for dispelling another one of those pesky myths out there. So, just to piggyback a little bit, because as with any good business arrangement, right, both parties derive value from the relationship. So traditionally, we associate the contractor's value in terms of profit, but there also might be some other factors or trade-offs involved that they're more interested in than profit. For example, I spent a large portion of my career in the Air Force Research Labs and quickly found out a huge trade-off in that regard is the contractors, a lot of times small businesses, they were willing to sacrifice some profit in order to get those data rights. Right. They were developing new technology. They really wanted those data rights more than profit. So that was a huge trade-off there. So bottom line, as you mentioned, there are certainly benefits, including profit, to be derived from those government contracts. So, all right, ma'am, last one, and perhaps one of the most pervasive myths out there. Myth number three, government contracts are only for large corporations. Fact or fiction?
Definitely fiction. Federal government has a mandate to ensure that a significant portion of its contracts are set aside specifically for small businesses. According to Small Business Administration, the federal government aims to award 23% of all federal contracting dollars to small businesses annually. The goal is to achieve it through various set-aside programs and reserve contracts exclusively for small businesses. And we're doing that to ensure that we have ample opportunities to compete for small businesses to compete and succeed in the federal marketplace. So absolutely a fiction. And we look forward to small businesses that want to get into the federal government. And that's what we're here for.
All right, ma'am. Excellent. Yeah, thanks for playing along with our fact or fiction segment. For those keeping score, we were 3 for 3 on dispelling all three myths. Probably is why they are called myths, right? So thanks for providing some fact checking on that. And then just to validate your response with some fact checking from the Federal Procurement Data System on our own PK Knowledge Board found on Air Force Contracting Central. So as of this morning, just looking at Air Force data, that's all over the Air Force. The Air Force has currently 43,000 active contracts, and over half of those contracts are with almost 9,000 different small businesses. So that small business, about half of those active contracts across the Air Force, 9,000 different small business vendors currently working on those active contracts as of today. So again, that's a big number. And then as far as dollars go, last year, fiscal year 24, the Air Force obligated almost $18.5 billion, that's billion with a B, to small businesses, and that's just last fiscal year. And where Marcy and myself work, the Air Force Materiel Command, AFMC accounted for over $10 billion of that number. So again, that's over half if you're keeping track there on your scorecard. So again, really big numbers. I mean, just 9,000 different vendors, over 20,000 different contracts, $18.5 billion across the Air Force, all with small business last year. And again, $10 billion coming directly out of Air Force Materiel Command. So really big numbers. So ma'am, just to reiterate your point there, absolutely. Government contracts are most definitely not exclusive to those large businesses or major corporations. So that concludes our segment of Fact or Fiction. So thank you, ma'am, for playing along and dispelling those myths. Co-host Marcy, back over to you.
Yes, Francine, what are some of the resources available to small businesses through the SBA? And what resources are available to government contracting teams through the SBA?
Fantastic. So the SBA offers many resources across the country to include our Small Business Development Center, our Women's Business Centers, and what we call SCORE, which they're all offices who are there to support small businesses in their quest to participate in submitting bids for government contractings for government contracting. It's both prime and subcontracting levels. And so we support those what we call resource partners within the Small Business Administration. Outside of SBA, we also have the APEX Accelerators who are funded by the Department of Defense. Thank you all very much. And are excellent resource an excellent resource for small businesses asking for assistance in navigating the proper channels to obtain certifications, as well as providing guidelines for putting together capability statements. All of this can be a part of a firm that wants to submit for a proposal. The Apex Accelerators are there to help those startups. And so we work with the Apex Accelerators. We work with our resource partners to ensure that they understand our programs within the Small Business Administration. And we offer even training to those folks. We want to stay on the same page with our partners. Internal to my office of government contracting, we offer what we call First Wednesday training for federal and DOD contracting and program offices personnel, which will provide education on the latest SBA programs, which is crucial in disseminating information and regulatory guidance to prospective small businesses that are desired to do business with the federal government. Further information on how you can participate in the First Wednesday program training is if you can reach out and touch daryl.williams@sba.gov. If you're not on our mailing list, Daryl will add you to that mailing list so you could participate in our First Wednesday. Again, that's daryl.williams@sba.gov. And then there's our SBA website. It's also it offers an excellent roadmap on how to plan your business, including market research and competitive advantage tips, writing business plans, calculating startup costs, launching your business. Our website, I always say, it's one of the most robust websites, and it offers so much information for our federal government contracting community, acquisition community, as well as our industry base. So please get on our website, and you could find whatever you need to find, including my office in the Office of Federal Government Contracting and Business Development.
All right. Excellent, Mamia. Thanks for running through those resources. And what we'll do is we'll get some of those resources and add those to the show notes. So all of that will be readily available when folks download the episode. So that is great. Again, plethora of resources available. Awesome stuff that I'm guessing a lot of our listeners had no idea there was that many resources so readily available to everybody. So that is awesome. Thank you, ma'am. So Marcy, question for you, ma'am. In your experience as a small business professional, can you describe a handful of characteristics or attributes of small businesses that promote small business success in federal government contracting?
I'd be happy to do that. So I think number one as an attribute is persistence. And number two as an attribute would be to be pleasant. And here's what I mean by that. If you are a small business and you say send an email to an org box, and you don't hear back immediately, I would encourage you not to be discouraged by that, because the government is a very complex, large organization. And it's possible if you have a point of contact and you're sending, you know, a piece of mail to one point of contact, perhaps that person has moved to a new position or retired, or there could be any number of reasons why your one form of communication hasn't been received and responded to. And so be persistent, keep communicating, and not just that, be pleasant. And so everybody wants to deal with someone who is pleasant. You know, we all have this attribute in our personal lives. We naturally gravitate to the people who are pleasant to be around. So those two are really important. The second attribute would be to network widely. Don't just send an email or even pick up the phone, join the Society for American Military Engineers or any of the number of organizations that are adjacent to or connected to government acquisitions if you're interested in doing a government contract. And don't just necessarily be thinking about your first contract being a prime contract. Think about how you can support and add value to other contractors who already have government contracts. Maybe you can subcontract. Maybe you can set up a joint venture. Maybe you can become a mentor protege. So there are lots of avenues into the possibility of a government contract. And the more open you are into considering all of your different avenues, the more likely you are to potentially get a contract. And then along with this, don't just limit yourself to one particular agency. There are so many different federal agencies that are contracting with small businesses. It's your job in as a small business to do your market research and to try to figure out the widest possible margin of the number of different customers, the number of different agencies that might need the solution that you're offering. So an openness and a curiosity toward the full scope of your potential market and that willingness to learn. And then I think the last attribute that I would offer, I'm so glad that Ms. Morris brought up the SCORE program. The SCORE program is an excellent program for small businesses. It is a free program to small businesses. And the SCORE mentors are retired from industry in many cases, and they are giving of their time to these small businesses that are trying to learn. And the information that they provide can be worth thousands of dollars. And it repackaged as a course, or if you were to go elsewhere to get this same information, you could be saving yourself a plethora of money by finding the right SCORE mentor. And the thing that I always say about SCORE is that you should try a couple of different mentors and really find someone who aligns with the type of work that you're trying to do or the area of business that you're trying to improve upon or get your hands around. That different mentors are going to have different gifts, different skills, different life experiences, and you want to just open yourself up to all the knowledge that you can get from an array of different people. But there are so many free resources out there for small business that spend even just a Saturday going through the SBA website and looking at their small business boot camp, their SCORE mentors, all the different free programs that they have to see small businesses succeed, and then plug in and network and participate in person, if you can, in some of the programs that are put on for small businesses. And just one little thing about the SCORE mentors, I have people in my personal life that have small businesses that have worked with SCORE mentors, and it's been a life-changing experience for these small businesses and these small business owners that I know. So I'm not just someone plugging this program. I'm someone within arm's reach of small business owners who have actually used these programs and had them radically change and increase the opportunities that these small businesses had. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Ms. Morris. In your experience, Ms. Morris, what challenges and barriers do small businesses face when attempting to contract with the federal government? And what kinds of things do you hear from small businesses about the government when you interact with them?
Thank you for that question. And thank you for your response, Marcy. That was phenomenal. For me, unduly restrictive requirements in solicitations, I think that's one of the primary barriers that I see and hear in my role. Unduly restrictive requirements in solicitations, they hinder small businesses' capability from being able to compete. And this could include, when I say unduly restrictive requirements, higher than necessary bonding, or when we look at market research and we say we want you to or proposals to give RFPs, give us requirements that are performance, past performance that are within size and complexity. And then you base those size and complexity on the ceiling of the contract and not on the actual task order that the contract will produce. And I think that from that, the firms, small businesses just can't come up with three really large past performances. So we say we want small businesses to participate, but we make the solicitation very unduly restrictive. We even look at past performances when a firm may submit a joint venture, and they want all the past performance to come from the protege, which the firm should be able to bring their past performance from both the protege and the mentor in those mentor-protege relationships with the joint venture. You know, there's unrealistic timeframes that's put on the proposals, or even from the market research. Let's start look at pre-award. And you may put out a market research requirement for firms to respond, but you only give them a week to respond, and it may, or even 10 days. And it may be something that they need to find another firm and team, but they don't even have that time to come in and be able to bring a teaming partner. They have to respond in such a short period of time. And so the time parameters that we put around the market research RFI requirements or sources salts, or when we come to proposal submitter, we don't give the firm, the small business, enough time to respond. And so I do think that those are some of the barriers that we put in place that I see that become very challenging for small businesses to be able to participate and on some of our competitive requirements.
Right, ma'am. Yeah, excellent points. And I was just thinking, a lot of those issues that you mentioned, I think some of our large business colleagues would have those same types of feedback. So Marcy, another question for you is, as a small business professional there, is that kind of maybe the job of the small business person to be the liaison on stuff like that between the CO and the small business? It's like, hey, you guys, that's kind of unrealistic, or a small business is going to struggle to meet that timeline, or is there that sort of interaction? Just curious.
Oh, there is absolutely that sort of interaction. That is a big part of what we do. We help contracting teams to maximize their small business participation. And one of the ways that we do that is by looking at their solicitations, by looking at their requirements, and helping them gain a level of confidence where it makes sense to open up the playing field, as it were, to small businesses, or by making them aware when the way that they've written, you know, their SOW or their PWS or the solicitation itself may be unduly restrictive to a small business, when there may well be several small businesses out there that if the requirement were just a little bit less restrictive, could in fact do and excel at meeting the requirements. So that's absolutely a piece of what we do.
Alrighty, excellent. I was kind of hoping that was the answer. I was kind of setting you up there a little bit. It kind of goes on that old question, when do you involve legal, right? Up front, early and often. Should you involve your small business specialist? Up front, early and often, I think would be the appropriate answer to that question as well. So yeah, great, great discussion. So Ms. Morris, let's talk about success stories. So in your office, maybe during your first tour with the SBA or even today, right, there's got to be a success story of a small business who finally breaks through this government bureaucracy. They finally get their first contract, and then it's off to the races. Does any success story come to mind to you?
Oh, I have so many. When you say that, it's so hard to pick one. You know, I could take you to, I have a small business that they had gotten, they first went through the 8A program and they finally got their certification. So they came in, they went through all the, as you say, bureaucracy, they submitted for their 8A certification and they finally got it. And they were awarded. They awarded their certification. And then when I was actually at the National Science Foundation, this same firm in my transition over came to the National Science Foundation, and we got them an opportunity to meet with the program office. And the program office loved their capabilities and what they brought to the table. They were a data analytics firm. And they were able to utilize that 8A certification and get a direct award within the National Science Foundation on one of our very prestigious programs there in the data analytics space. And that was their very first contract. So receiving their 8A certification, going to an agency, being able to utilize that certification and get a direct award by marketing that 8A program to the small business office and the program office within the agency. It was just phenomenal. And I just remember the firm saying to me, this was the best day of his life, is what he said. And it was just so moving to see how we work together in government. So through all the bureaucracy, through all of ensuring that all the pieces were put in place, this firm was able to use it to its fullest, how it was actually designed to work. And when you hear that type of story, it gives you that energy and that motivation and inspires you to just keep going within the space that we're in. And everyone was super excited to know that they were a part of his first award. And so that has to be one of my special stories. But if I could share one more, because I want the audience to hear the impact of how their work, the work of the government helps these companies, these small businesses. You know, during the pandemic, it was such a devastating time period for small businesses. And we didn't, you don't realize it until you're in it. And there was a woman-owned small business firm that came and needed, you know, she was marketing herself. She had become a woman-owned small business, and she was marketing herself at the agency. And she was able to get a contract. It wasn't very large contract, but it was enough to keep her doors open. And later, I was told, she shared that that one opportunity, that one small contract allowed her to keep her doors open and allowed her continue with her business to now she is so very successful. And so every little bit counts. And that's what I want to make a point of stating here, that when we think that the smallest of small, whether it be $10,000 or $100,000, it means so much to that small business. And we don't know the impact until later we realize how we've just been able to pour into a company to keep the doors open and keep them sustained for success.
All right. Excellent, ma'am. Yeah, two great examples there. And again, I have several of my own working in the Air Force Research Lab, small businesses going from the cyber innovation research contracts, mm-hmm. the phase one to the phase two, then the phase three, just doing phenomenal stuff. And that never would have happened if they wouldn't have gotten that opportunity to begin with. So great stuff. Hey, Marcy, kind of the same question. As a small business professional, what success stories do you have to share in terms of creating opportunities for small business?
I have two that I'd really love to share. So AFMC had a banner year with our small business numbers for FY24. In fact, we beat our fiscal year 23 numbers by a handy amount. Handily, we beat our fiscal year 23 goals. But not only at the top line did we have a banner year, we had a banner year actually in the women-owned small business category. Mm-hmm. And within this last year, I was personally involved in a training requirement that previously had not been a woman-owned small business set aside. It had been, I think, just a general small business set aside. And this year, we were able to make it a $9 million, approximately $9 million woman-owned small business set aside. And that contributed to the top line number that AFMC experienced this year. The second really cool success story that I have is that I am the small business point of contact for a multi-billion dollar research and development program. And we have on this program a pool one unrestricted large business pool and a pool two small business pool. But this year, we actually had a small business compete in that unrestricted large business pool and win a slot, which allows them to compete for much higher dollar contracts than they would if they were simply in the pool two. Because the way this contract works is that under a certain dollar amount, things are automatically set aside for these pool two small businesses. And then our pool one is completely unrestricted. And so now for this small business, there is no ceiling on the number, on the dollar amount of contracts that they can peak for. And so the world is your oyster, so to speak, in this pool one. And so the takeaway that I want to offer to small businesses is not to shy away from competing for higher dollar contracts if, in fact, you have the capability to compete, because good work gets work. And if you have a really unique capability, don't be scared away by the dollar sign on the solicitation, because the opportunities are there and they're real. And so I'm very proud of both of those two success stories. And that's just really like the tip of the iceberg in terms of all of the wonderful small businesses and small business successes that we had in fiscal year 2024 and that we will have in 2025. Ms. Morris, now I have a question for you. What questions do you wish that the contracting community would ask you about small businesses, or vice versa? What questions do you wish small businesses would ask you or other government representatives?
I would love if the government would say, how can we actually, how can SBA help them in this acquisition space, especially when we're talking about the acquisition cycle, to be willing to engage SBA's PCRs and CMRs early in the acquisition. It would make the PCR and CMR members of even a source selection committee, ensuring the involvement of the early engagement strategy sessions. We want to collaborate more as far as setting those, helping you to meet those small business goals. Develop subcontracting goals with SBA's CMRs when you're considering the market intelligence to make it realistic for small businesses percentages when you're allocating subcontracting plans for the socioeconomic categories. I would love to see you want us to get more, or want my office to get more involved in that. I think we should look beyond just achieving small business goals and think of it as promoting small business to continue programs that support growth of our economy. You know, small business fuel, you know, the economy's growth by generating a significant revenue and contributing to GDP. We've seen research from the SBA that shows that small businesses account for nearly 44% of our U.S. economy, economic activity. And so that stimulates the demand for local goods. It fosters the health of competition, healthy competition, and it creates a dynamic marketplace. And so I would love for that ask to come, and so we can help show how we can play a significant role in helping you to meet those goals and helping industry become better participants in this federal marketplace.
All right. Excellent, ma'am. Again, you've hit these questions out of the park. So phenomenal stuff. And again, we'll post a lot of those resources on our show notes. So when the episode gets published, folks will have a lot of those resources right at their fingertips. So great stuff there.
All right. Well, we've reached the final question of our interview. Ms. Morris, as you carry out the administrator's vision for the SBA, and you imagine the future of implementation of the SBA government contracting programs, what do you see? What are your highest aspirations for the SBA? And in turn, what are your highest aspirations for the contracting workforce as we all pursue small business solutions?
Take full advantage of the programs that SBA has to offer. We have a lot to offer here within the Small Business Administration in the for assistance in the acquisition community. And I would ask that you and get us involved early and as often in the planning phase. And I think emphasize, you know, to the federal agencies and the DoD customers that market research is the basis for making sound decisions in the acquisition planning. And I think lastly, change the mindset out there that SBA is only looking for achievement of goals. We're not just looking for achievement of goals. My highest aspiration is rather we are creating a program that maximizes opportunities for small businesses to participate in the government contracting, which necessary ingredients to grow our economy. And so we don't have to just focus on goals, but we do it because it's the right thing to do. We do it because we know that small businesses bring great solutions to the table. We know that small businesses, large businesses were once small at one time, and that they bring big solutions to the table. They are innovative, they're flexible, and they can bring sound solutions that will last forever in many marketplaces. And so my greatest aspiration is we don't have to create goals, but to get folks to move in a small business direction. But you would want to do it because it's the right thing to do.
Excellent. Thank you again, Ms. Morris.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Thank you. And I love the goal there. the goal, growth above goals. Right. I think that's what you're getting at, ma'am. Do it because it's the right thing to do, not because there's a goal that we're striving to hit. So I love the way you put that. So ladies, thank you both so much for sharing your experiences and insights on The Contracting Experience. This has been a great conversation, and I'm grateful you could both join us. So on behalf of The Contracting Experience podcast, all of our listeners and subscribers, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you. And thank you to all of our podcast listeners, followers, and subscribers. If you have any feedback, suggestions for topics, or future guests you would like to hear on the podcast, you can submit those via email to thecontractingexperience@gmail.com. As a reminder, you can subscribe to the Contracting Experience podcast from any of your podcast listening platforms. You can also now find us on Facebook as well as our YouTube channel. Be sure to like us, follow us, and subscribe to receive updates and automatic downloads so you don't miss a single episode. I've been your co-host, Rob Lorton, from the AFMC Contracting Digital Division, and I hope you can join us again on our upcoming episodes. Until then, stay tuned and stay connected.